Kof Vov Adar Rishon, Wednesday the 2nd of March, Rabbi Ben Zion Weitz. Kashrus begins at home, part 2.
Just Rabbi Rabbeisai, I'd like to discuss a shala that happens, I think, on a regular basis in the kosher kitchen. And that is the question of using a meaty pot, for instance, to boil something which is parva and then eat that with the opposite type. So, for instance, you're using a meaty pot to boil potatoes and then you want to eat those potatoes with butter. This question is known in the poskim as a noisen tam ba noisen tam, a nut ba nut for short. I know that many quiver when they hear this. It's not complicated at all. One just needs to understand a few basic principles and then you'll see you'll be able to work this out for yourselves. A nut ba nut de hetele, what this means is that when you boil meat in a pot, the taste of the meat goes into the walls of the pot. When you afterwards use that pot to boil potatoes, then the taste of the pot, the meaty taste that's been lurking inside the pot, then goes into the potatoes. Me'ik ha-din, you would be allowed to eat those potatoes with butter, because the taste that has gone in is a secondary taste. Now, what's very important to remember is that the reason why this secondary taste, the weakened taste of the meat that's gone into the pot and now has come out of the pot and gone into the potatoes, that secondary taste, that noisen tam ba noisen tam, an infused taste, the son of an infused taste, known in short as a secondary taste, nut ba nut, the reason why that is permitted is because it is lehetera, dehetera, meaning when the taste goes into the potatoes that we can taste, at that moment in time, you've got no shal at all. You can eat the potatoes gesundheit. Your shal is only, what can I do next? Other things with the potatoes. But to sit down and eat those potatoes on their own, there's no question about it, it's zicher allowed. That's why this secondary taste is permitted even to eat it with butter. However, if, for instance, you take a meaty pot and within 24 hours of using it, you would put milk in that pot, you couldn't say, right, the taste of the meat went into the pot, now the taste of the pot comes into the milk, and that is a secondary taste, a noisen tam by noisen tam. It is a secondary taste, but it's a secondary taste, the isura. Because at the moment when the taste of the pot came out, that meaty taste that went into the milk, that is an issa. It immediately turned into an issa. You've got the halachic problem straight away of busul b'cholov. In the other case, where it entered the potatoes, at that moment when it entered potatoes, there's no problem. Potatoes with a meaty taste in itself is not a problem. The question is only, what can I now do with the potatoes? So the first thing you have to consider is, have I got a problem as it is, or is the problem only the next step, what can I do with these potatoes? Now, whenever we talk about nut by nut, we're always talking about, we always have in the back of our minds three points. One is that the pot was a clean pot, and normally when you take a pot out of a kitchen cupboard, it's considered to be clean because it is assumed that the housewife has scrubbed the pot before it was put into the cupboard. So the main point is there is no actual meat on the pot, because otherwise the halacha would be different. The second point is that we're talking about a pot that's been used within the previous 24 hours. If it's older than that, then the halacha is also different. And the third point is that we're not talking about sharp foods. We're talking about ordinary food like a vegetable such as potato or carrots, nothing sharp like onion. Because if it's an onion, then the halacha also changes. So it's a clean pot, it's a pot that's been used within the past 24 hours, and it is not a sharp food. Now there's an interesting machlokes in the poskim as how to understand the reason why this taste that's now in the potatoes could possibly be mutter to eat with butter. And some poskim hold, this is in fact the mashal holds like that, that the reason is because lemaisa, the potatoes are not detectable. If you eat the potatoes, you would not feel a taste of meat. And since it's not discernible, this taste is therefore ignored. The Pichudish doesn't learn like that. The Pichudish learns that the reason is because it is a weakened taste. it's pushed, it's gone from the meat into the vessel, from the vessel into the potatoes. It's so weakened that halacha ignores it. So therefore you can eat it with butter. However, the difference would be that if someone would taste the potatoes, and for some reason the taste of the meat was so strong that it managed to last through its ordeal of going into the vessel and coming out again, and then going into the potatoes, then you could still feel it in the potatoes. So according to some poskim, you would not be allowed to eat the potatoes because the taste is in fact in this case detectable. And according to others, you would be allowed to because even though it's detectable, it's so weakened that the halucha does not consider it to have any halachic implications. We're going to come to that. If life would only be so easy. The next point is that there is two yesodistic machloikis in this inyan. The first is that there is a shittas chavis das that holds that the whole reason that this nut by nut works, and that we say that the taste that has come from the meat into the vessel, from the vessel into the potatoes, is a weakened taste, that is only because the taste rested in the middle in the pot. And we know that tastes that rest in a pot, their potency goes down, because there is a din that if it had been in the pot for longer than 24 hours, there'd be even a bigger kula. So taste resting in a pot causes that taste to change its status and to go one rung lower down. However, says the Chavos Das, if it wouldn't be resting in the pot, but it would be a taste that would be concurrent. For instance, you've got potatoes boiling in a pot, and when the pot was boiling and the walls of the pot were very hot, someone splashes milk on the outside of the pot. You, according to the Chavos Das, you couldn't say that the taste of the milk has gone into the pot, and from the pot it's gone into the potatoes, and therefore those potatoes have gotten them a taste which is a secondary taste, and you could eat those potatoes together with a shepherd's pie together with meat. The Chavos Das says, no, that's not a secondary taste at all. Because at the time when it entered the potatoes, that taste was still connected to its source. It didn't rest in the pot. It went straight from the outside of the pot into the pot and continued its journey immediately without stopping in the pot. There was a line of taste going from the milk through the pot, through the water, to the potatoes. And that is a concurrent taste, which the Chavos Das says is not a secondary taste, that is a primary taste. And it is a taste of milk inside the potatoes, and you would not be allowed to eat those potatoes together with meat. The taste must rest. Others argue with this. There's another point, and that is that some hold that this sequence of taste going from meat to pot, from pot to potatoes, is very, very important. It has to go from a food to a vessel, be weakened in the vessel, and then from the vessel to the food. If you change that sequence, for instance, you would have hot meat lying on a plate, and then you place hot potatoes on top of the meat, where the taste of the meat goes into the potatoes, and then you'd remove those potatoes and boil them again in a pot, or heat them in a pot. So you, says the Prima Godim, you could not then say that I have got a weakened taste of potato, of meat, in that pot, because it's gone from the meat to the potatoes, and now it's in the pot, and that taste in the pot is a secondary taste in the pot. And I could therefore perhaps boil milk in that pot afterwards. So the Chavos Das says, absolutely not. It's the sequence has got to be food to vessel to food. Food to food to vessel doesn't work, because it hasn't had a chance to weaken before it enters the vessel. It must be weakened by a vessel in between the two foods. Others argue with that and say that it doesn't matter that it isn't weakened in the middle, as long as you've got the double sequence that going from food to pot, it doesn't matter that the pot is at the end. The pot does not need to be in the middle. We don't paskin like that. Based on that, if accidentally somebody at home would take a parav pot and boil meat in it, and now you've got a problem that your best pot of pot has suddenly had meat boiled in it. If you were to pick up the phone and phone the Rav and say, I've just been to a shir and I've got a feeling that my problem is not as bad as it would appear, because the meat that was boiled in my pot of pot, the taste of the meat went into the water, and then it went from the water into the pot. So can I perhaps argue that the parah pot has got a secondary taste of meat, and nat banat, and it's a nat banat teteira, there's no problem at the moment. So maybe I haven't really got a fleshiger pot. And the Rav will answer, nice try, but it's not going to work for two reasons. The first reason is because it was concurrent, because whilst the meat was boiling, the taste went into the pot, so it didn't rest, it went food to food to pot. And second reason is, for that very reason, that the sequence is wrong as well. We paskin that the sequence must be food to pot to food, not food to pot. So for two reasons, that pot is very much a fleshiger pot. This is based on a Gemara in Masechtas Chulin Gaf Kuf Yud Aleph on the base, where Shmuel says, in one line, "Dugim she'olu bekara mutal ochlam im kutach." That, as Rashi learns, someone put hot fish on a cold meaty plate. So Shmuel says, you may then eat those fish together with kutach. Kutach was a milky type dip that was very popular, some sort of sour cream mixed with yogurt that was very popular b'mei Chazal. What Shmuel is saying is that since that plate, which was a meaty plate, had in it tastes of meat, and now the tastes of meat entered the hot fish, even though the fish has got tastes of meat in it, because it's a secondary taste, it was meat to plate, plate to fish, you're allowed to eat those fish with melechiks. La halucha, there is a machloikis between the Mechaba and the Ramor of how to deal with this. The Mechaba holds that you are not allowed to plan a nat banat deteira. That means that the housewife who knows that she intends to serve the potatoes with butter on top must not take out from the cupboard a meaty pot that has been used within the previous 24 hours in order to boil in it the potatoes that are going to be served together with butter. It must not be planned in advance. However, if it accidentally does happen that this pot was used, and now you've got the potatoes that have got the secondary taste of meat in them, the Mechaba holds, you may then go and put butter on them. The Ramor goes one step further and says, not only aren't you allowed to plan this in advance, but even once the nat banat teteira is there and you're faced with the potatoes that have got the meaty taste in them, the secondary meaty taste in them, then you can eat those potatoes gesundheit either on their own or in a meaty meal or even in a milky meal, as long as you don't serve it at the same course together with anything which is dairy, anything which is milchik. However, you cannot eat them together with butter. If there you find that butter has already been put on them, and now is the question, I've got a noisen town by noisen town, I've got a secondary meaty taste inside these potatoes, and now the damage has been done that the butter is on them, then you don't need to throw the potatoes out, but you're allowed to eat the potatoes. So to sum up, if you come home after a hard day and you've got the shayla just before supper, I have boiled potatoes in a meaty pot that was used within the previous 24 hours, and now I want to serve it with butter, all you need to do is to sit down and consider for a moment, am I a Sfadi or am I an Ashkenazi? Once you've established what you are, if you are a Sfadi, then you would follow the rulings of the Mechaba, and once the nat banat teteira is on the plate, it's been done, you're allowed to put butter on them. And according to the Ramor, you would not be allowed to put butter on them. However, if butter has been put on them, you would be allowed to eat the potatoes. There's a Gemara in Masechtas Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, sorry, it's in Daf Pezayin Beis, in the sugya about the events leading up to Kabbalah Torah. It's a very famous Gemara, where the Gemara says that Yom HaRishon, when they came to Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't learn any halachas, any Torah with Eden, Mishum Chulshu de Orcha, because everybody was too exhausted from their journey. I arrived last night from Eretz Yisrael, and I'm going tomorrow Mi'at Hashem to New York. I'd like to exercise that clause, and perhaps leave the question about sharp foods, and what would happen if the pot would be older than 24 hours, had not been used for 24 hours, for Mi'at Hashem another time, and just to talk in general terms about this type of inyan, this type of halucha. The question is, where does this come from? If you search in the Torah, you're not going to find this din that a secondary taste may or may not be eaten together with the other type. The answer is that this comes from, as the Mishnah, the very first Mishnah, Sakhtas Ulus tells us, this comes from Moshe kibbol Torah m'Sinai, m'Sarua l'Yeshua, Yeshua l'Zakenim, Zakenim m'Neviim, m'Neviim n'Sarua l'Anshe Knesses Hagdola. This is the Yisod of Torah and Mitzvahs, in fact the Yisod of all of Yiddishkeit, which is Mesorah. Now, the Mesorah, this tradition, there is, in this week's Parsha, a very interesting insight as how Chazal, that the importance that Chazal attached to the whole concept of Mesorah. The Pasuk says, "Vayasu sitz nezah kodesh zov toy, v'yichtevu olav michtav hatircha chosam, kodesh l'Hashem." On its sits, the words kodesh l'Hashem were written. The Gemara Maseches Me'ilah, Daf Yud Zayin, and it's well worth looking this up because it's an absolutely fascinating story. The Gemara tells there a story about Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and this story happened during the time of the Roman occupation in Eretz Yisrael. And they had brought in terrible gezeiros. One gezeirah was, of course, Shabbos and Mila. These gezeirahs are familiar to us from other times as well. There's nothing novel about this. And there was a Tanna called Rabbi Reuven Ostrobli. And this Rabbi Reuven Ostrobli, says the Gemara, allowed his hair to grow long and then cut it in the fashion of the Romans. Rashi says that the fashion at that time was short in the front and long in the back. He then travelled to Rome and put on one of the Roman type togas or cloaks that were popular with the senators in Rome. And one can well imagine a Tanna like Rabbi Reuven Ostrobli must have looked very distinguished, an imposing figure, and he managed to get access into the Senate. And not only did he get into the Senate, but he also managed to start a debate about these gezeiros that they had brought on Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi Reuven Ostrobli asked the Senate whether an enemy, they prefer their enemy to be rich or poor. And they all shouted out, "We, well, of course, want our enemy to be poor." So he said, "Well, why do you then stop them from working on Shabbos? If we would stop our enemy from working on Shabbos, they would earn less, they'd have one day a week less pay, and they'd be poorer." And this appealed to them, and they said, "You're quite right," and they were mevatel that gezeira of Shabbos. And then he said, "Would you prefer your enemy to be weak or sickly?" So they said, "Well, of course, we want them to be ill." So he said, "Well, medical evidence shows that boys that are circumcised at the age of 8 days turn out to be weaker than those who are not." And they then were mevatel that gezeira as well. And in that way, he was also mevatel the terrible gezeira of Taras HaMishpucha. Rabbi Reuven Ostrobli left Rome and travelled back to Eretz Yisrael thinking that he had been mevatel the gezeira. However, the Gemara says that it wasn't so, because no sooner had he left when the Senate in Rome launched an investigation as to who this mysterious senator was. And eventually, as they say in English, he was rumbled. And they realized that he was an imposter, and not only an imposter, but he was in fact a yeet, and they brought the gezeiras back with a vengeance. And back in Eretz Yisrael, the Chachmei Yisrael sat down to consider what to do next, and it was decided that Reb Shimon bar Yochai, who was, says the Gemara, Melumed ben Nisim, he was somebody who had experienced many Nisim when he was hiding in a cave in the, at that time it was the desert around the Lud area, he was hiding, and he managed to evade the Romans for many years, and the many Nisim happened to him. So they thought that he was somebody who was zocheh to many Nisim, he would be the right person to go. And it was also decided to send somebody else with him, and Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chalafta, who was slightly junior to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, but who was nevertheless one of the Tanoim, and Moedeki Yichus, the son of Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Chalafta, he was chosen to travel with Rabbi Shimon. And they left to go to Rome. just as they left Sidri Mura, they were approached by Ben Tamalion. Ben Tamalion, says Rashi, was a Shein Dalada demon. And Tosis says he was a mischievous demon. And when this Ben Tamalion offered his services to Reb Shimon bar Yochai said to Mura Bucha, he started to cry. And Reb Shimon bar Yochai said, Shivcha the Beis Abba, Ruah Malach Gimel Pomim, Shleisha Pomim, that the Shivcha, Hogar, the Shivcha of Avraham Avinu, she was Zoicha to see a Malach three times, and he wasn't even Zoicha to see a Malach once. All he got Menah Shemayim was this playful demon, this Ben Tamalion. So he said, no, B'chol Mukum Yuvah HaNes, whichever way it is, if this is how they want Meshemayim, it should be through this way. But he told this demon that he doesn't particularly want him to accompany him, he should go on ahead. And this Ben Tamalion went on ahead, and he actually entered the body of the daughter of the Roman emperor. In other words, she became possessed, she became deranged, a lunatic, she was locked up, and all she did all day was to shout, Shimon bar Yochai, Shimon bar Yochai. And the emperor gave an order to the Roman guards that they must find the Shimon bar Yochai and bring him to the palace. When Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and Rabbi Yossi came to the gates of Rome, they were challenged. They should say who they are. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said his name, and he was immediately taken to the emperor, who asked him whether he can heal the daughter. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said he thought he could. And he whispered into the daughter's ear, Ben Tamalion say. And immediately the daughter recovered when this spirit left her body. The emperor was overjoyed and took Reb Elozer ben Yossi and Reb Shimon down to his treasure room and said they can choose whatever they want. And they rummaged about. They were searching for the scroll on which these gezeiros had been written. Whilst they were rummaging about, Reb Elozer ben Yossi saw several caliphs of the Beis Hamikdash. He more says he saw the Peroichus, and in fact he saw how the blood of Yom Kippur was splattered the Kimatzlif. Al-Kalponim, they found the scroll, and Reb Shimon bar Yochai came out of the treasure room holding the scroll, and the emperor said, if you're holding the scroll, then this gezeira is yours, and in that way he was mevatel the gezeiras. The Sasev Rebbe Zeichet Tzadik Gevrucha said a moed kevot on this. He said that there's a minig, Yoshim Noishin, an ancient minig at Yisrael, that three-year-old boys are taken to Miron, to the cave of Reb Shimon bar Yochai, to have their first haircut. Many people think that this is something to do with Lag BaOmer. This is in fact happens all year round. It is not only in Lag BaOmer, and it's a very old minig. And the Sasser Rebbe asked, there must be a connection between Reb Shimon bar Yochai and haircuts, and there doesn't seem to be any connection between Reb Shimon bar Yochai and having a haircut. So the Sasser Rebbe suggested that perhaps the connection is this Gemara, that although we can't question Rabbi Reuven Nosrobli because he was a Tana, a Malach, and what he did was of course B'Shas Adchak, but Lemaisa, what he did was not the Messiah. The haircut was not the Messiah, the Roman clothes were not the Messiah, the masquerading as a Nachri was not the Messiah, the whole spiel was not according to the Messiah. And Lemaisa, the Gemara says, Ataka wasn't Matzliach. Reb Shimon bar Yochai, he came with his Surah as Reb Shimon bar Yochai and announced that he was Reb Shimon bar Yochai. He was in fact Matzliach and he had the Siyata Deshmaya. So the Sasser Rebbe used to say that we take the three-year-old boys for their first haircut to Miron, to the Tzion Reb Shimon bar Yochai, to say that we are choosing this path of Messiah, and we believe that through the Messiah, that's how the Siyata Dishmaya and that Slucha will happen. Outcome Divrei HaSasser Rebbe, but this story is not quite over. Because there's a Gemara Masechta Sukkot of Samach Gimel, that the Chacham Yisrael, several generations after the Chom HaBayis, had a machloikis, how the Sith looked. How was the word in Kodesh Lashem, how did it appear on the Tzitz? Because the Pusuk says, Michtav Chtuch HaChosim, Kodesh Lashem. The Chazal, the Chachomim, at that time, held that it was written in two lines. Kodesh Lamed. It said Kodesh Le, and then on another line it said Yudke Vuvke. And the Pashtas, the Mephoshim seemed to explain that Yudke Vuvke was at the top, the end of the top line, and Kodesh Le was at the bottom of the first line. So it read Kodesh Le, and then on top, Yudke Vuvke, although there are different Gesuris in that. about kapunim, whichever way it was on two lines. When I was taken down to the treasure house of the emperor of Rome, I saw the tzitz as well. And v'hoyu kusuv al shita achas. Kodesh Hashem was written on one line. Now, when you learn this Gemara, it's quite striking and very surprising that the Gemara doesn't say, ah, no, as Reb Elozer, but Reb Yossi saw the tzitz, and it said, Kodesh Lashem, on one line, end of argument, that's how the tzitz was. The Gemara does not say that. And in fact, what's also surprising is that you would expect that the Chachomim, having heard that Reb Elozer, Reb Yossi said that he saw it in Rome, and it was Kodesh Hashem on one line, they should say, ah, but Elgazoi, we withdraw. And we don't hold any more that it was on two lines. We say, we agree, Reb Elozer, Reb Yossi saw it, that it was written on one line. And the Gemara does not bring that that Chachomim retracted their words in any way. In fact, the Rambam, Pashtus, holds like the Chachumim, that it was essentially written on one line, on two lines. The Pshat is Azay. How could the Chachumim possibly have known whether the words Kodesh Lashem were written on one line or on two lines? Those Chachumim at that time were at least three generations after Chorban HaBayis. They have never seen the tzitz with their own eyes. The tzitz was long gone, either buried or plundered. It wasn't there anymore. How could they have known? The pshat is, they heard from their rebbes, who heard from their rebbes, who heard from their rebbes, who had been in Ezras Yisrael, and had seen the Kohen Gadol emerge wearing the tzitz, and they had seen that it was written Kodesh Hashem on two lines. And those rebbes told their Talmidim, who told their Talmidim, who told their Talmidim, who told the Chachumim that it was written on two lines. So the Chachumim said to Reb Elozer ben Reb Yossi, we have a Messiah that it was written on two lines. Our Messiah is more than Elif Eidim. Our Messiah is so strong, and we are so certain of our Messiah, because Torah goes with Messiah, that we have no idea what it is that you saw. You saw something. We believe that you saw something. We don't know what you saw. It may have been some commemorative tzitz. We don't know what it was. We know what our rebbes told us, what they heard from their rebbes, what the Messiah was from the Tana that actually was Bezman HaBayis and saw the Kohen Gadol wearing the tzitz, and that was on two lines. And the Messiah is more important than what you saw with your own eyes. That's why the Gemara does not bring any retraction on that. Because of the koyach of the Messiah of Klal Yisrael. The Mitzvah say we should be zoicha through keeping the Messiah of Torah mitzvahs. Lebiyas ben tzedek v'mehevim 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 v'mehev